Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this.
What the?
This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome already back to a brand new episode of the podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
And I screwed it up. My name's Lee Ted Smith, the host of this here podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The podcast. All right, well, I guess I'm the only one wearing a jacket today because even this guy's down in the desert in Palm Springs. He goes, my name is Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Palm Springs, baby. What's going on? I did a little hike with Matt the other day, and I'm embracing the desert dweller inside of me. What's up, boys?
Down there in the bottom square, also beaming in from the desert. I'm desertless. Matt Kama, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Dude, I've been having a great couple days. Kyle's been in town. We've been, you know, running all over the place, having a bunch of fun. Got to see our friend the mayor last night and his lovely wife. So yeah, it's good times down here in the desert.
And full disclosure, full disclosure, when I say I'm desertless, Matt has invited me countless times. So I'm saying that in a joking manner. I could easily have been down there this weekend.
I was going to say, and Ted, at this point in time, your love life is sort of a desert, so you're not completely left out.
All right. We're making strides, though. We're not, God, I hate using this term. We didn't take down anything, but, you know, we rounded some bases on St. Patrick's Day. Now, sure, are people just getting hammered and making out with people at St. Patrick's Day? Doesn't fucking matter. The point is, we're getting some mojo back, boys.
Hey, singles count on the scorecard. And here's the thing, Ted, you have no idea. So I dropped in the Soldiers of Destiny group chat that you were going out live on Saturday, and people went bananas. People are excited for the new feral Ted Smith. He's turning heel. We're watching it right before our eyes, and people are hyped, dude. I had at least three different friends message me individually like, yo, Ted is like, are you serious? Like, Ted's going out hard. I'm like, yes, he announced it on the podcast. He never does that.
Right.
I mean, I like this energy.
I haven't had a full day with Dunk in years. If we met up for breakfast in the market at like 11 a.m.
Dude, somebody, I know you were involved, blacked my business partner out by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He made it 2 hours. He had a concussion and what's that called? Where you can't get your equilibrium. Like, dude, you guys, I don't know what happened, but like,
I will say, I did not have many parts of that. I saw him for literally a pint and a shot. And the boy, he was with some other guys, and they may or may not had like half pints of whiskey just on their person that they were also consuming.
I've been piecing his day together with like credit card receipts and like little excerpts like that from you. Like, he has no idea what happened, but like, it's somehow now, like he was barely even able to fly to Ireland this week because he has like no sense of balance. Like, it's crazy.
Oh,
what's that called when you get your inner ear messed up?
Vertigo.
Equilibrium. Yeah,
dude, he has like vertigo. I got a photo of him like passed out in on a bathroom floor. Like, it was a wild day, Ted Smith. And I know somewhere deep in there, feral Ted Smith is responsible.
Oh, I mean, it makes sense. When I saw them, they were giddy. Like, look, we got some bottles. And this was in a bar. They were like, look what we got. And I was like, oh, you boys are getting it. But that was only
the bar one block away from where we work.
Right. And that was only my second stop of the day.
Yeah, dude, that's your energy is strong this spring, Ted. It's rubbing off on people. I like it.
Yeah, well, that Friday, we had done the men's room out at the Black Raven Brewery.
In Redmond or Woodinville?
That was awesome. In Woodinville. So they have the tasting room in Redmond. This is the brewery out in Woodinville. So I forget what I was doing. It's, first of all, beautiful day, boys, right? Like, Seattle, like, fake spring. Great day. I get there. I show up around 1:15. It's packed. Like, parking lot's full. Every table is full. Like it is game on, right? So you guys know Mike Hawk well enough. So, you know, like I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't think I'm talking out of school here. Miles and Thrill get loose, right? They'll get loose in the studio, right? But like for years I ran the board, Mike runs the board, and like I like we just legally Mike can't, and like I couldn't for years. So like we just don't drink at work. So like we always joke about when we do these events outside of work that we're gonna get trashed. We generally don't. May, you know, we'll have a few pints or whatever. So we get to Black Raven, it's packed already. Shout out to all the podcast fans that came up. People were asking about it. Also, and people, you know, I always love it too. People are always like, Ted, love the show, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, LARP on. I'm like, oh yeah, my man.
Real fan.
That's real fan. Extra click.
Right. The extra click. I know. And I mean, this sounds bad, but like, oh, you get an extra 2 minutes of Ted time. So it's wild. Like during the, like, it's probably like 2:30. And I kind of look at Mike like, Mike, you really want to drink today? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. Screw it. And like, nobody cares, right? Nobody at work minds. Mike never does that. So Mike's like, yeah. So like, I order beer. He orders a beer. And then it's like 3 o'clock. And I look at Miles on the air and I'm like, ah, why don't we make Mike chug a beer at the top of every hour? Now, people got to keep in mind, Mike works on the men's room. Mike does not drink like everybody else on the show drinks. All right. I hang out with him a decent amount in my personal life. I've seen him get into trouble, say Taylor Swift. And there's times where I got to be like, Mike, do not try to drink light beers the way I am. Right. Like, just like he's one of the boys, but you know, he likes to drink, but he's not like a, I don't know. So Mike's getting hammered, but he keeps it together pretty well. So yada, yada, yada. I had a couple beers during the show and I'm drinking one after the show. Mike, by the end of the show, I could tell Mike's hammered. I don't realize how hammered he is. This is a debacle. We've got to get Mike, you know, everybody else is hammered. We got to get Mike back to safety to somewhere, get his car back. So great, great afternoon. Great live event. Show sounded fun. Everybody, thanks to everyone who came up. So then me and my buddy, we don't get back to his place in Burien. We don't walk into a bar till like 9:30. Our buddy, Mackenzie's there with her boyfriend Russ from Meltdown. So I mean, we start getting after it. We're partying. So I mean, we barely sleep, and then we're eating breakfast at 11 a.m. in the market, St. Patrick's Day. Mimosa, beer, Dunk shows up, and then it's like, let's go to Kel's. Pint and a shot. I hear White Rover. There's a band playing. Like, all right, got that one in. And then I mean, we just do a clinical bar crawl down the street, right? We're going to go to Vindictive Wings, but first we walk up the street. I'm like, let's pop into Virginia Inn, man. Guy I know named Carl. I think he still owns this place. And they're like, Carl's not here. And I'm like, doesn't matter. We'll take a pint. We stopped in some other bar that wasn't even open, but our buddy Keith, who's been on here, his friends with the bartender that's working. And he's like, oh, he's like, no, man, we're not open. He's like, oh, man, Keith and like Pat. Oh, yeah, you guys come in like here, and gives us a shot of whatever terrible liquor. Then we go to Vindictive Wings, which are awesome. It's Cobb. It's the wing spot that's in the old Belltown pub.
Yeah.
So like we're in there having drinks. All the people from the Washington Athletic Club are upstairs. I didn't know this on their pub crawl. So the owner is like, he knows Keith and everybody. He's like, Ted, who are you? How do you know everybody? People are like talking to us. Like, then boom, we're going to go to Ozzy's. On the way out, I see El Presidente and his parents just long enough to give him a hug. And I'm like, sorry, my Uber's here. I got to go. Then we go to Ozzy's. Like a bunch of other friends meet up with us. I'm friends with like some of the managers and owners at Ozzy's. So we have like a table and like people are going to the Kraken game. And here's the best part about it, boys. Like as we're walking around the city, at one point I look at everybody and I go, listen, this is the best part of a bar crawl. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, we're buzzed up. Like nobody's fallen over yet. Like nobody's really like hammered. I said, this is the best part. It's still, you know, sun's out. We're at Ozzy's. It's getting loose. Like people think we're just important and are like sending over shots. Smash cut. Like I look at my buddy, like now in my head, it's like the tick, tick. Like we're getting hammered. Such a nice day. I'm like, can we go grill at your house? He's like, yeah, that was the other thing. Our buddy Brett shows up and we're like, Brett, what are you doing here? Thought you were going to the Sounders game. He's like, it ended 2 hours ago. You guys might be a little drunk. And we're like, oh.
It ended 2 hours ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
We did not realize how late it had gotten. So we hop in an Uber.
Pressure.
Go back to my buddy's house, fire up the grill, start watching sports. It's like, all right, at least now we're home safe out of the elements.
Oh, my God. Man, just hearing that you went to Ozzy's, I mean, that place gets loose. Like, you don't end up in there for a casual cocktail, you know?
Oh, least, yeah, I mean.
Like, that's where people go to drink hard.
Still see my hall of necklaces and stuff I got. And Ted, shout out to Ozzy's.
Shamrock necklaces.
Yeah, we had a blast in there. I mean, we're talking to chicks and stuff. I was just like, and I'm like, literally when we left, I'm like, did anybody know those people? And like, I was like, I think they were just regulars, but since it seemed like we knew everybody, and like one of the bartenders was a buddy of mine. I hadn't seen him probably 7-8 years. So he's like, oh, I got to send you guys something. I'm like, this is awesome. One of the guys was just a regular and he's just like, man, you know the owners? And he's got test tubes full of Jello shots. And I'm like, oh, you know, sun's out. Like, let's do it.
Don't you love a day where it just all clicks, comes together? That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And you know, given what we were talking about beforehand, that was that Saturday.
Wow.
Nice.
God, you were just leaving carnage in your wake. I mean,
yeah,
seriously. Like,
on
he's
hair.
Like, my business partner still has vertigo. Like, he's getting doctor's appointments in Ireland. Like, dude couldn't see straight for 4 days after that. So
and he just crossed paths with Ted that day.
Yeah, he dealt with Ted for maybe an hour.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was that. I mean, I will say
the kind of wake that Ted was leaving behind.
That was, I will say, it might have. Well, first of all, that's on him. I saw him for literally 20 minutes. And then the question that got asked at least 50 more times that day was, I don't know, we'll call him Nick. It's like, what the hell happened to Nick?
Yeah, seriously.
He was on a tear by the time I saw him at like 12:30.
Yeah, man, the luck of the Irish. That's awesome, Ted. I mean, I like that you called your shot Babe Ruth style. You were like, boys, I don't know what's going to happen, but Saturday, I'm going out big.
Oh, yeah.
Blaze of glory. And like,
I don't know. It was such a fun day.
That's incredible. I love that.
Golly. Yeah. And St. Patrick's Day, I mean, people are just pumped. I mean, we must have passed 4 other bar crawls. There was a Kraken game. Now, the funny thing is, the one couple I know, they were like, we're making this and that on actual St. Patrick's Day. And I was drunk enough. I just looked at my buddy. I go, that sounds amazing. You're a great cook. I'm going to be way too hungover.
Yeah, that's right. I know. I love when you're like drunk enough that you know it's coming. You're just like, no, tomorrow's a complete write-off. But today, I'm living for today.
Yeah. And I was in the zone enough where it's like I'm drunk, but not drunk enough where I'm going to be like, count me in. I'm coming over.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just making false proclamations. Yeah. God, that's awesome, man. I love to hear that. I like that you set a plan and you execute it. Ted is slowly turning heel. I'm here for it.
All right. Speaking of turning heel. So we started talking about, like, you know, we're watching the NCAA tournament. So I was having fun kind of giving Taryn and Cougs fans a bunch of crap. And my buddy, we were talking about how people like in Portland and stuff just hate Seattle. But I was like, I dislike the Timbers, but I was like, I don't really hate Oregon or Portland that much. It's just the Timbers. And I hate the Ducks. But like, other than that, so we were talking about all that. And then we were talking about how they say keep Portland weird. Yeah. It's not even theirs. Cobb, they stole it from Austin.
I know, Ted. They stole a lot from Austin, including the food truck game. But, you know, such is life.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, it makes me hate them more. It's like, look, I know Seattle got, yeah, like you got Boeing, Seattle got Microsoft and Amazon, but it's like, I don't, so it's like, oh, I guess we'll keep it weird. We don't have anything else, but it's like, that's, it's not even yours.
Yeah. Also, like taking that from somebody else, like copying that is like the opposite of weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if you were so weird, like when you invent something of your own. So weird and creative. I don't know. Yeah, Portland, I don't know. I was down there recently, and I love that city, but I would say at least as far as the downtown goes, they're on a little bit of a downhill right now. They've lost the plot, but hopefully it'll be back. It's a cool place, cool people, but yeah, it's Portland's down bad at the moment.
I guess generally, I never really had a big beef with that town. It's kind of like when I moved to Baltimore, right? When you, like, I lived in college, I grew up in College Park, right? And then, you know, it's inside the Beltway, so it's D.C. And then, you know, it's PG County, but, like, Baltimore is Baltimore. Like, you know, I grew up cheering for the O's, you know? Now, the Ravens have changed it a little bit, but it wasn't until I moved to Baltimore and started working in radio there, and people were like, the rivalry. And I'm like, what f***ing rivalry?
Yeah,
you know, like I said, the Ravens. What's that?
Oh, nothing. Yeah, you're right. Not much of a rivalry.
Yeah, so I feel like it's the same thing with Seattle and Portland, where it's like, man, the only thing really making me dislike Oregon and Portland is the people. Like every time I'm down there in Oregon, I say I'm from. Yeah,
the only thing making
say
me
you're from Seattle,
the
they're like
very fiber of what the city's made up of. Sorry, it's tough with the lag.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a beef with them, but then when it's like, I'm like, oh, we're all Northwesterners. Where are you from? Like, Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And a lot of Seattleites feel the same way about them. Wait, with Baltimore, are you a Francis Scott Key guy or no?
I mean, I've been on that bridge hundreds of times. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah. That was just the wildest piece of footage I've probably seen in 6 months. Unbelievable.
Well, that's next on my list.
Nice.
I get my point is with Baltimore is when you grow up in DC, there's no rivalry. And then, but to Baltimore, there was. So I think whenever you're the smaller city, you know, I hate using this term as I am a little brother, but it's like the little brother complex, or it's like, I don't know. I'm a little brother. I don't have beef with my brother. We're actually really good friends.
Yeah, I feel like Boston and New York have some of that energy. Like in Boston, people always talk about New York. And in New York, I've never heard Boston mentioned once.
New York's a bit like Texas. Like nobody likes New York more than New Yorkers. And nobody hypes it up more than New Yorkers.
Oh, yeah. New Yorkers. I mean, if it didn't happen in New York, it didn't happen for sure.
Yeah, I remembered. One time I went to a Lakers game in Portland and they were chanting beat LA. It was just like a regular season game. And they were like, the Lakers are our rivals, you know, because the Sonics had already been out of the league. And so they were like, the Lakers are our rivals. You know, we hate them. And I was like, dude, I'm a Lakers fan. We do not think about you at all. Like, we knock you off on our way to a couple titles, but you are not rivals one bit. And then they're doing the beat LA chant. That's fucking Boston's.
Yeah. Like, do they know that the Lakers are your rival? I mean,
right. Yeah. We didn't get the memo, dude.
Yeah. That's honestly just kind of sad. Like, there's many teams that the Lakers care about beating. Like, Portland, they don't even think about. You're a stepping stone.
Right.
Well, I think I've told this story before, but in the early 2000s, like Maryland basketball is very good, right? So we had and so is Duke. So there's a lot of good games. And one time we're beating them at Cameron Indoor and their fans chant it, we're not rivals. I was like, it wouldn't hurt if it wasn't true.
God, that's like that classic quote, like the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Like, we're not rivals. That's brutal, dude. Right. That's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, we won the game, and yet somehow it's like, God damn it, they still got us.
Well, and you know, also the fact that 22 years later, you're still thinking about it. Like, that was a good chant. They got it.
Yeah. I mean, credit to them. I'm just saying, it's arguably the best chant I've ever heard in my life, and it worked against me.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's infuriating.
Good.
Yeah, so that bridge in Baltimore, I've been over it many a time. It's funny, when I woke up this morning to handle some business, which means drop a deuce around 5 a.m., you know, I did a little light reading over social media as I was pooping, And I saw that. So like I texted my sister because she doesn't live that far from that bridge. And she was like, yeah, dude. She was like, it woke me up in the middle of the night. I thought it was thunder, but obviously there was no weather. And she, you know, it took us a couple minutes to figure out the here that like the bridge had collapsed or whatever. And then you see that timeline, that time lapse video, and it's just insanity. That thing loses power, then, you know, gains it back, and you can see it smoking, trying to correct itself, and then loses power again and just hits that thing.
Wow. I didn't know there was a time lapse video. That's crazy that your sister can hear it from her house. Also, like, how on earth is how old is the mayor of Baltimore? That guy looks like he's like 25.
I think dude's only like mid 30s or like 30, like he's not 40.
Oh yeah. Born in 84, 39 years old. Wow. All right,
yeah.
I was looking to see if he was a DeMatha grad, but I'm not seeing it on here. That'd be awesome.
No. No. That's wild. It is. And it amazed me at 5 a.m. There's already people call, you know, distraction. It's this, it's that. It's like, dude, bad things happen too.
Like, distraction from what?
I don't know. What you pick and choose. But if anything happens now, just like, you know, it's just the same stuff. Doesn't it seem odd? It's happening right now. It's like, that is not make you seem intelligent. You're just asking an open-ended question.
Dude, that's yeah. Matt and I walked through about 10 conspiracy theories while we were on our hike. So I feel like I got that out of my system. I've no new ones this week. We went for a little hike in Palm Springs up to this, what's that called? Like a yin yang thing. And we talked conspiracies. So I think the bridge is legit. That's what I'm trying to say. I think it was just a legitimate accident.
Right. I mean, I saw it was this morning. People are already like the Diddy stuff, the bridge, just a distraction. I'm like, right. From what?
That's just news.
Sometimes like it's just news, man. And like the same boat lost power and hit something in like 2016 in some other country, and it's like, and it was being piloted by the local pilot from Baltimore. So it's like, look, it lost power. It was going 7 or 8 knots. Like, and it hit the thing at the right time. Look, it's a horrible thing. Thank God the guy got out the Mayday message so they stopped traffic on the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. You know, the one thing they could have been trying to distract from is Matt, we didn't talk about whether you want to share this or not. That photo that you guys showed me, is that public information?
Photo that I showed you.
That Tyler took?
Oh, yeah, I mean, we can talk about it.
Ted, I know what they're trying to distract from, dude. Matt has a photo of an alien spacecraft. That's real.
Okay. All right. I'm in. Let's talk about that.
I saw it. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. We got Cobb high with one of our Southern California blunts, and then we showed him a picture of this UFO that we saw on our walk, and it was like flying at a weird speed, and it had this like big wave of like light like around it. Like it was wild, and it just was like moving, and it was like at a weird height, at a weird speed. It wasn't a satellite, it wasn't a meteor or anything, and we were looking at it for like a minute or something before Tyler, my girlfriend, like took out her phone and took a picture of it, and it was like so obvious that you could see it on the cell phone picture at night. Like that was Cobb's mind was absolutely blown by the quality of this thing.
So all I'm saying is there is stuff going on, and maybe the bridge and P. Diddy are a distraction, Ted. Why is it happening now?
Number one, I mean, are UFOs to me have always been real, right? Because it's simply an unidentified flying object. But like, I feel like aliens, like, didn't the military come out and been like, yeah, we're declassifying. Like, we know there's aliens.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that the podcast has gotten so deep that we don't even consider aliens a conspiracy anymore. We're like, that's just fact.
It's been declassified since we started the podcast. Like, it's no longer a conspiracy. And then, Ted, the thing just disappeared out of the sky, like, a couple minutes later.
As they do.
I'll tell you what, I got a new conspiracy. And here's one that's going to make most conspiracy theorists sad. What if the aliens have been here for a long time and they're just like, yeah, we just come to check in on you dipshits. We're not coming down.
You guys are pathetic. Yeah. We're here on assignment. We're being punished. Acting up. They're like, you idiots are going down to Earth to keep tabs down there.
Yeah, this could be the penal colony.
Are we the original Australia?
Yeah, exactly. And then Australia is our Australia, or Australia is our Earth.
Jesus, man.
Where does it end? It's turtles all the way down, boys.
It's turtles all the way down.
The Tasmanian devils.
Man, I used that term the other day just because I like Sturgill Simpson. I like that song, Turtles All the Way Down. I don't think I fully fathom what that term meant. I got stuck in a weird 5-minute conversation and I was like, I was making a reference to Sturgill Simpson, man.
It's just a song.
It is a great song.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, someone just goes way too deep.
We should name this one. Are we the solar system's Australia? If I have to come on here next week and do a formal apology to the continent of Australia, I'll be like, wait a minute, Cop lived there. We love the Aussies.
Oh, we watched the Grand Prix.
Yeah, just watch that. That was sick. The Sheilas down there, love them. The guys are cool. Australia's awesome. 10 out of 10.
And how nice was it? Like, Max is going to win another title, Verstappen. How nice was it, though, that his car broke down? And it was just an old school race.
That's what I'm saying.
It felt good.
It was, dude, Cobb was coming over. Cobb used to live, like, right by that track. And then, so I turned it on. And it was the next morning, so he already knew who won. But then I didn't at first. And then we're watching it, and Max goes out in the first couple laps, and Cobb was on his way over. I mean, I was so hyped over here, Ted. I was like, we got his former home GP, no Verstappen. Like, the day's just getting started.
Yeah, I was nerding out pretty good, as I had the start time wrong. And then I think we were watching the Washington State game that went into overtime. So by the time we clicked over to the Australian Grand Prix, like, it's already like it's already good into the race. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, I'm looking at like who's leading. And then I'm like, wait a minute, where's Max? And I'm like, he's not even in the race. Like, I just, the excitement level. I was explaining to my buddy, I'm like, ah, they can open it up here and there. And I'm like, other guys can actually get some points today. Just like having a few drivers out of the race, just, it's just a completely different thing. And I was like, I don't know. It was also just nice for a change for the commentators to just talk about the race different. Like, I mean, Max is so good, you have to talk about how much he dominates. But I was like, I mean, that's just the best race I've watched in a while.
Oh yeah, dude. And that like venue is so cool with like the palm trees and stuff. I mean, yeah, Melbourne's just like a world-class city to have that result. And like, even like in like the final two laps, there's like the spin out and stuff. I mean, yeah, sick race, a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the more and more I watch Formula One, I did not realize how much I like that track. Right. And just the fact that like you can build up so much speed, and then before you know it, it's like, and there's a wall there. And it's like, man, it gets tight.
And it looks like a Mario Kart track. I mean, it looks fake, like with like the palm trees, the city in the background, the beach. If anyone's curious, I lived in St. Kilda, and this, the what's it called? The F1 track is like, you know, the F1 Jones grandstand or whatever at that park. So it's like right there. You can see it. It's like Albert Park, but really cool venue. I mean, world class. And just like, it's crazy that Melbourne actually has that. It's just such a sporting town. But yeah, like the drone shots and stuff, Ted, I mean, it looks like paradise, and that's because it is.
Yeah, and also they're like, oh, we're getting into autumn down here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forget. And then Sunday, NASCAR, they were down at your neck of the woods, Dakota.
Oh, really?
Yeah, making left and right turns.
Wow. Dude, oh, yeah. Wait, somebody was telling me about that at a bar, and I thought they were wrong. They were saying that the stock cars were going to race at COTA, and I was like, there's no way. Like, what? So what was the deal with that? Do you know? It wasn't like an official event, right?
Oh, no, it was.
They just count. They're making turns both ways now. Like, the turns aren't even banked there.
No, so there was, I think, so I'm getting more into NASCAR too.
Nice.
That I understand more about just, frankly, auto racing and like drafting and this and that. So there was always a few road courses, like the one at Watkins Glen, which I'll be honest, as I'm telling you, I know that's a road course. I think it's somewhere in the Northeast. I'm not really positive where it is. But over the last few, that was always on the docket. And then, man, I feel like it was 8 or 10 years ago they added COTA. And like they've been adding road races. Like, because remember last year they had a road race in Chicago. So they've been trying to add more road races, I think, and it's kind of working to get people like me who started watching open wheel racing to be like, why don't you come over here and check this out?
Yeah, nice. I think Watkins Glen is in upstate New York, I want to say, which sounds crazy to say, but.
All right, that makes sense. But like, I'm like, I don't know if that's like Albany or Rochester. Just, I know that was always one where they made turns and stuff.
Honestly, yeah, I think it's not even near a major city. I want to say it's like between Binghamton and Buffalo somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it was just, I was just sitting here and I was like, oh. I mean, it was just Cobb's weekend for auto racing in his old hometown with F1. And then NASCAR is like, ah, screw it, coming to Austin.
That's wild. I wonder what the street vibe was like there, because you definitely feel it when F1 is in town. I mean, everything you see is a supercar downtown. We live right kind of by like the only, what I would consider like truly fancy hotel in Austin's around the corner from our house. And you always see like crazy, like celebrities and crazy cars. Like I saw, like, I think we talked about on here, like that Dogecoin, like Lamborghini, and there's like just absurd cars, but a lot of the Formula One drivers stay there. So I wonder what, like NASCAR though is a totally different energy, and I would love to see that unleashed upon the proper.
It is, and what else was I going to say? But like, I know NASCAR definitely still runs like a normal kind of NASCAR race at like Texas Motor Speedway. So I could be wrong on the times, but I feel like it's been like 10 years. They were like, oh, we should run there too.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of auto racing fans, and Austin's kind of central. So, you know, you get people from Houston and San Antonio and Dallas. But
plus, yeah, I mean,
cool, man. I'd like to see NASCAR cars on like a, you know, what do you call it? Like a, what's that kind of track called? Like a circuit?
Well, there's road courses and then there's ovals. I guess they call them ovals. And then some of them are super speedways, which I don't know the difference between a speedway and a super speedway. But like Daytona is a super speedway.
I'll tell you the difference, Ted. Super.
I just want to go, like, I want to go to a NASCAR race, but I want to go to a dirty one in like Talladega.
Yeah. Dega, baby.
Or Bristol.
Just, oh, dude, know. Bristol? Wow, yeah. Oh, I would totally go. God.
Right, I want to go to a race where, like, you're leaving with a horrible farmer tan sunburn, and like all you've been drinking all weekend is moonshine and twisted teas.
Yeah, dude, honestly, even a night race would be cool, man. Those things just seem more dangerous. I don't know why, but yeah, all those sound good.
And I like twisted teas once in a while. I don't know why I associate that with Bristol.
Well, you know.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic? All right, welcome back, everybody. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Bye week this week for Formula Un, but then the next race is it the Japan Grand Prix? Yeah, so another 10 p.m. start. All right, Matt, you watched it the next day, but I did take some pride in the English announcers being like, thanks to everybody in England that got up early. I wanted to be like, you know what? Suck a dick, man. Like, I do this all the time, basically every race. Like, you never give a shout out to the people on the West Coast of America.
Yeah, you have every right to be incensed by that, dude. You've earned it.
I mean, sorry, a pro sport event that starts at 9 or 10 p.m. on a Saturday that usually, you know, any, like, this is great. Tournament games were still happening. I mean, even on Sunday, I sat here and was watching an overtime tournament game. And I was just like, God, you know, this, I love football, but this is a good time of year.
Oh, yeah. March Madness is special.
All right, Mr. Cobb, we got some emails.
Of course. Ricky Williams. Hey, Ted, you missed out this weekend. Ricky Williams was doing an appearance at PRC in Arlington, and I ran into him at the bar at everyone's favorite Arlington. Buzz in. LARP on. Tony Bologna.
Ricky Williams was at the Buzz Inn in Arlington?
Apparently so.
You God dang it. That pisses me off.
Why?
Just, I mean, I only know that bar because of Taryn and Brad, or mainly Taryn, but I love that place, man.
Was Ricky Williams the University of Texas running back who, like, quit the NFL?
Yeah.
Or was that Ricky Water?
Yeah. No, Ricky Williams. That's it. Remember, he was there for McConaughey's birthday when we were at the game.
That's right. Yeah. two simple questions and a comment. How did Ted and Cobb meet, and how do I send Cobb a wedding card? Hi, Matt. Stevie, the Packers fan.
What up?
Ted, would you like to tell our origin story, or shall I?
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but we had a mutual friend who had recently encouraged me to move into a condo building in Belltown down the hall from him. And you and him had recently, I think, become buddies along with our friend Barnes. And I don't know. I feel like one night I was over at his place and you were there and we met, and I feel like you were still going through new socks.
That's right. I was on that new sock game. New socks every day for a year was my goal. I made it like 180 days or something like that. And then I didn't realize, but fresh socks are like giving away crack cocaine to homeless people. So I would I'd wear the socks once, wash them, dry them, put them in a big box. And then my friend told me that that's one of the things that homeless people have trouble getting. They're like, you know, food is easy for homeless people to come by, but fresh socks. So I took them down to like downtown Seattle and just told people I had them. And it was a mob scene. It was crazy. But yeah, Ted was living down the hall from my friend. He came on like a different show that I was like helping my friend out with a little bit. And we met him, hit it off. And then Ted came down. And if I remember right, we drank some beers and he had a big drawer full of koozies. And then we hung out a few more times. And from that, we were friends. Oh, no, we went to Green Lake for Gasworks. I remember talking to you at that breakfast at the Five Point.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that part of it.
That was awesome. Remember my friend trying to longboard down the steep hill at Gasworks? Anyone who's been there, the grass hill that looks out over the water, he's trying to longboard down. It was insane.
Yeah, and like, yeah, that's right. Because we had breakfast at the Five Point. It was early, and it was like a nice sunny Sunday afternoon. I might have had work on Monday. I feel like I didn't, but either way, it was like, Cobb was like, hey, we're going to do this or that. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. And he was like, you want to go? And I was like, yeah.
Dude, also, I got to talk about the most baller move Ted Smith has probably ever made. He's made a lot of them, but this was so cool. So this was before Uber existed. And Ted's like, you know, we're sitting there chatting and he's like, we should go in my pool or my hot tub. And I was like, dude, you have a hot tub? And he was like, yes, it's in my building, but my building's downtown. And we're like, oh, like, you know, we're all kind of messed up. Like, none of us can drive. And he's like, I don't drive. Like, well, what do you mean, man? How do you get around? He's like, I don't have a license.
And it was Solstice, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. He's like, I don't have a license. I got a guy. And I'm like, what the F do you mean you got a guy? And he's like, hold on. Pulls up his phone. Like 4 minutes later, black Lincoln Town Car pulls out, blacked out windows. He's like, get in, boys. And we went and hit the hot tub in Belltown. It was rad, dude. It was honestly one of the most baller moves. Now that's commonplace with Uber. That was one of the most baller personal moves I've ever seen someone make. And of course,
Then
we became friends.
Right, because Jolene, I used to work with, her now husband, he was working for a black town car service. And it was, right, we had been hanging out all day with another former friend of ours at Solstice. And we were like, we can get out of here. But I was like, I don't have a car. You only had a scoot or something. So not only did we go to the hot tub, this is also also a good sign of Cobb and I friendship to come. And you should listen when somebody tells you something. We're in the pool. And I'm like, want to race in this pool? And he's like, I was a college swimmer. And I go, yeah, we'll just run. And he's like, okay. Like, I was a college swimmer. And I'm like, all right.
Like, I'm pretty fast.
He can even run faster than me in the water, obviously. And then I think I tried like three other things, like see him go farthest underwater by the like third time. He's like, I was a college swimmer, dude. Yeah, like, well, where? He's like,
in a pool.
Right? He's like, at Boston College. I'm like, yep, yep, yep. All right. Now, in retrospect, like, you look at my brain, just be like, I can beat him at something. Like, oh, sure. Not in the water.
That's like those dads that like race their kids and sprint backwards. And they're like, you will never beat me at anything. Got to do it while they're young. That's a parenting tip for anyone out there.
Yeah. And then other than that, I would say like we were all friends. And then I don't know, like over the years, like, I don't know, we were just single and had time to kick it together. And then, right, we legit would just have Hot Tub Tuesday, which HTT was a thing. And then when we started doing the podcast, we just started doing it on Tuesdays.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that we hit a couple of summer, like eight summer meltdowns, couple Burning Mans, and the rest is history. Here we are, you know?
Yeah, my first meltdown was with you. My first Burning Man was with you.
Yeah, I've had some good times. Ted Smith's solid. I'll say that. And anyone listening already knows, but that's a solid dude.
I'd say the same about you.
But he may be turning heel.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Actually, no. He's going heel.
Good for you, dude. It's everyone else I'm worried about.
By the way, at some point, and people can hear it in my voice, like Saturday was a long Friday and Saturday were some stressful days. So Saturday evening, by the time we're watching the race and basketball, got some pizza going, got some beers. Like now we're just, me and my buddy are just talking ass. So talking about a wedding coming up, and I'm like, bolo tie. And then it's like, do I show up in a cowboy hat in Texas? Do I buy a cowboy hat there? I mean, we spent like an hour breaking down just fits.
Ted, make sure you take a look at the attire page. It's got some guidance. As for the wedding card, you can just send it to the popcorn shop if you want. That's probably the best move because I don't get it when I'm in Seattle. Golden age and wiping the bench with dry paper towel. G'day to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, dude, this guy's in Melbourne? Hell yeah. I lived in St. Kilda and then in Fitzroy. I was thinking about what we are in the golden age of, and I have to say, the good old internal combustion engine. With the advent of electric vehicles and stricter emissions, I think the rapid development of the trusty gas guzzler is possibly coming to an end. Being the wanker that I am, I reached middle age and bought a Porsche, and the sound of that thing screaming at 8,000 RPM is something that is going to be hard to beat. Also, how I put it, after this week's podcast and a browse on Amazon, I'm no longer wiping the kitchen bench with a paper towel. LARP on. Cheers. Aaron from Melbourne, Australia. The guy got a bidet. Love it.
Got a bidet in him. I like it.
And a C-bomb.
Also, I know I said we're in the golden age of bread. Like, I can't walk past that, like the bread aisle or the tortilla aisle each time and not be like, that's a good thought, Ted.
Bread. Golden age.
Nailed it.
I know. Just every time I'm like, I mean, that tortilla end cap is just amazing.
That's awesome. Dude, one little thing I like about Texas is they make the tortillas in the grocery store. So they're always fresh.
Yeah, it's like the chips.
What do you mean?
Like, I felt like you told me like a lot of the places are just making the tortilla chips fresh there too.
Oh yeah, a lot of places make tortilla. Yeah,
I mean, I guess if you make fresh tortillas, a subsidiary, you know what I mean?
Subsidiary, gotcha.
Yeah, is tortilla chips, because I feel like as far as fast food taco places go, like Qdoba just crushes it with their chips.
Yeah, their chips are fire. But honestly, I don't know, man. Their quesadillas used to be really good. I had one at the Denver airport a couple weeks ago, and I think Qdoba could be slipping. I think Chipotle is finally
really
their lunch, but we'll see.
Dude, there's no Qdoba's down.
Well, Matt will understand this. I have a work lunch tomorrow, so I'm anticipating Qdoba, so it's on the brain.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I loved when they'd have all those chips left. I mean, they would have the big catering bags left over when I'd get there in the night shift, and I would just go to town. I mean, I ate some ungodly amounts of Qdoba chips at that station.
Right. And sometimes nowadays, because it's like there's not many people in the office, they just have it for the salespeople. But it's like there's always the little containers of chicken, steak, and then that bag of chips. It's like, yeah, I'm good to go.
Oh, that's so money, dude.
And not Cobb, for whatever reason, I don't know if my company has trade with him or whatever, but I could be wrong, but I'm willing to bet 90% that it's Qdoba tomorrow for our lunch, which I'm fine with. That's what I'm saying. Like, looking forward to it.
Dang. Nice. Yeah. I don't actually even, God, it's crazy. Like how long we were using the studios at KSW. Like I even remember the chips left over at the new studio. We'd just be I was snagging on them talking to Taryn one night.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to check in with What's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Mattening?
Before we get to What's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Mattening?
Check out with What's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Mattening?
Before we get to What's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Mattening?
Check out with What's Mattening.
Yeah, you want to send it over to Cobb right off the bat? No, I was... thrilled this weekend. Friday we walked down to Bill's Pizza. They're a really good spot, and there's a downtown Palm Springs location too, so I just like to shout it out in case anyone comes to town. Bill's Pizza's awesome. And then we were just so amped to see Cobb, but we also saw our first Cybertruck, another Austin import. Basically, I don't know if Tesla's actually headquartered there, but
yeah, make the Cybertruck in Austin.
Damn. Yeah. So
how's it look in person?
Texas.
Big and like wild, like absolutely like a spaceship. It was nuts. And I was just like, it's a good omen, you know? Cobb's coming. We got a Cybertruck sighting for the first time. And then, yeah, Saturday night, Cobb was here for a bachelor party, but he told us they were all going to the Firebirds game. So we got tickets in our section, and Cobb texted me, "Where are you?" like at the start of the intermission. So we kind of thought he'd come text me back during the intermission. And then the second period starts and I'm in my seat, and I texted him our section in row, and he just taps me, and like I f-ing leaped over the guy next to me. Like it was so unexpected for me. And like, that sheer reaction, like, was just, yeah, I was just so excited to see my boy. So
go Birds, yeah, baby.
Dude, it was so awesome. And so, yeah, I got to, you know, hang out with Cobb for, you know, we probably chatted for 10, 15 minutes there while the game was going. And I was just so stoked that Cobb got to see Fuego. It was military appreciation night, so Fuego was in top form, showing
was he
up
in like desert fatigues.
No, they had a special jersey that was like black camo.
All right.
So he kept blending in more. Like his,
that's how it works, Matt.
Yeah, black and dark gray in an arena camoed really effectively. Because every time he hits that drum, I'm like, "Where's he at?" And my location time was slower than usual. So, yeah, I mean, Fuego, what do you think?
Dude, it's awesome. If you're ever in the desert and you're looking for something to do, like, I mean, it was a legit, like, first of all, Hockey Live is amazing. You kind of forget because you see it on TV, it's in the background at bars, whatever, but Hockey Live is a whole different animal. Second, Ted, the same reason that you and I like college football is the reason people should like Fuego. With the NHL to some extent, but really like with the NFL, you know, people are out there on the field making business decisions, not sports decisions. For Fuego, those guys are 17, 18 years old. They're laying the body on the line, anything to win the game and secure a contract in the NHL. And because of that, like, it's just, it's hectic and chaotic. And there's so much passion and love and competitive energy that it was just an incredible game. I mean, it was like college hockey. It was awesome. It felt like a national championship game for college hockey. And the stadium is cool. There's great, you know, great seats everywhere, just the vibe. And the fans are so into it. Like, there is a legit, legit following down here. So, yeah, it was awesome. 10 out of 10.
All right, real quick, just how is it going talking to Matt, and then like, is it just like, all right, I got to reimmerse in a bachelor party? Because I imagine Matt and Tyler are a lot calmer than a bachelor party is on a Saturday night.
It was a transition, you know. The bachelor party itself, you know, they were on the third day, so they were running out of gas. So it was not too bad. But that was by design. You know, I had to come in a little late. I had some work stuff going on. So yeah, all was well. But yeah, definitely, you know, I can be a chameleon, Ted. You don't worry about me.
Yeah, so the Birds won. They scored like 3 goals in the final 4 minutes. They were down by one, and then they tied it. And then they scored another one, and then the other team pulled their goalie down by one, and then the Firebirds put an empty netter in. So yeah, it was just a great experience. I was stoked. Like, you know, I talked about the Firebirds so much to Cobb, and like, you got to see it firsthand. So it was a they won. It was just a great game, great experience, and yeah, we had a great time. So then Sunday morning, I don't remember exactly what time Cobb showed up. We weren't sure when he would, but then he did, and I was like, I don't know when the last time this dude smoked weed before noon is, but he's hanging with us on a Sunday morning so we can walk to breakfast. Like, I'm going to offer. We're going to partake.
Probably when I was 23. That's probably the last time.
Right. In some worlds, that's just called a Sunday morning. Right.
Yeah. So that's my world of like, yeah, of course, if we're walking down. So Cobb showed up. You know, I had the F1 race on, and we smoked one of our blunts that we get down here that's like a cavi cone, basically. It's, you know, infused with the oil and then rolled in the keef, and it's like, just packs a real punch like we like. And so then I don't know, I was stoked to show Cobb like what a Firebirds game's all about, and then like show him our little spot here. Like, we got a pretty sweet condo. I'm kind of used to it, but it was fun seeing like fresh eyes experience like the mountain in our front yard. And the view that we have that like goes all the way to the windmills in Palm Springs. And so, yeah, I was just super hyped. And then took Cobb down to this place called Keedy's, which has what we would consider the best pancakes in town, but they also have the best waffle in town. So everybody wins at Keedy's. And yeah, it's like a mile and a half walk, you know, Cobb, what'd you think?
I was going to say, Ted, let me tell Matt's same story a different way. Okay. He says it so casually about the joint being rolled in keef and being infused. Like it's like a feature, like a gusher. This thing was nuclear. I mean, I was so blazed from, I took 2 small puffs of this joint. I was levitating all the way to Keedy's, could barely see, was maintaining a conversation, I don't know, maybe from my subconscious. And like, I don't remember anything we talked about. I do remember the food. It was amazing. And like multiple times in the restaurant, I remember just grabbing Matt, like, look at us, man. Like, we're in the past. Cause the whole place is like 1955 themed. Like, dude, I was tripping through decades as Matt was just sort of casually getting breakfast in his neighborhood. So, you know, I think the experience was a little different for each of us, but what I can say is I had an amazing time. What I can say is I would go back. What I can say is Matt has an awesome lifestyle of which I would love to subscribe, but that guy's living wild, dude. He's living free. It's a different kind of energy down here. I'll tell you that.
Did you watch the race before or after breakfast?
I watched the race at, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I had it on before we walked to breakfast.
And did you smoke before the race?
Yeah, it was on when he came in, and then we smoked, and then it was still on, and then we left.
Oh, I like him. You just put him through the blender of your lifestyle. Like, oh yeah, man, what is it? Like 10 a.m. Take a couple tokes of this, watch a little of this race you might not know a ton about, and then we're gonna walk to breakfast.
Yeah. And for people listening, if you don't know what keef is or what infused is, just look those up. But they make it like 100 times stronger. Like, this is like beyond the Washington scientists getting a hold of weed. I mean, it was weapons grade.
Attaboy, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a great day, man. It was really, really awesome to just, I don't know. It's been a big, you know, it is a big move. I enjoy it, but I also think really highly of Cobb. So for, to get to like show you, you know, what my average days are like, you know, was just like really exciting. And then seeing you be like, dude, this is awesome. It's just very reaffirming and fun. And then yesterday I was working, but I had a nice gap because some people were out of town. And so then I was able to have Cobb over, and we have a hiking trail right in our front yard. That's like a mile and a half up to this. You can see the cross from like a lot of places in the valley, especially at night. They light it up. There's like a big cross up there. But if you go past the cross, there's like this concrete flat surface on this ledge with a great view that has a yin yang spray painted on it. So that's where a lot of locals go. So I took Cobb to the yin yang. We just, you know, hung out, looked out over the valley. You could see where I work up there. So I was just like, this is my land, dude. Like, yeah, this is my whole world. From there to up there, like, that's, this is my day to day. That's the whole world. And like, yeah, just showing them how I do it down here was, yeah, really special and exciting. So, Ted, you're next.
Yep. And I was just saying, to piggyback on the Firebirds thing, it's just like, that's like when you tailgate, or like when I had my brother and nephew out here just to go see like Huskies Ducks at Husky Stadium. Like, you know, that's one thing. Another fun thing about sports is showing people like, oh, this is our tradition. This is what we do. Like, this is fun, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, you got to get down here. You'll thrive in the desert.
All right. I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
So I've been in a lot of conversations lately about gratitude. A couple of them were with Matt. One was with the girl I'm dating, and a few other folks. And so I was kind of thinking about, like, you know, we were talking about things we're in the golden age of, but also like, what are things sort of that, like, I don't know, that previously were unattainable that we don't even think about now. So like, the main thing I was kind of thinking about was like spices, like the fact that we can just get our hands on spices. And in the past, like, you know, wars were fought over spices. And now, you know, spices can be acquired at any grocery store for $3-4. So the cop topic this week is, what's something only the rich could afford in the past that's now affordable by most? So feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. 98% chance we'll read it on the air unless it says something crazy. But what's something only the rich could afford in the past that is now affordable by most? Mine was spices, specifically vanilla, which is an orchid. Everyone has tasted vanilla, and that's a very exotic orchid, tough to get your hands on in the past. So what's up, boys?
Sorry, I had an evil thought when you said it.
See, he's turning heel, boys.
Only evil people could afford them, unless it's inappropriate. I was like, all right. I mean, again, the first one that comes to my mind, and maybe just because you said spices, probably just chocolate.
Oh, not for long, bro. Prices just surged like 9,000% on cocoa beans this week. I hate that I know that, but I do follow commodities.
Right, but I mean, like, sweets specifically were just a thing of, like, aristocrats and, like, the rich and this and that. Man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just for, I would say for our day and age, honestly, even just from when we were kids, obviously you guys are a little younger than I am, but I would say TVs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stuff, people forget that, like, stuff has become so cheap, right? But like, things you need have gotten so much more expensive, right? Like actual food and this and that. But yeah, like stuff like TVs and good couches and like that stuff's just gotten cheaper, you know? But like TV, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, like getting a new TV, like Christ, I mean, I can only think of like maybe once or twice, maybe you got a new TV your whole, you know, until I was 20 something. Now it's like every few years, like, I don't know, just go down the store and $300 or $400 get a new TV.
Dude, this is a soapbox I always get on. Well, I'm saying this, you guys should check the messages. I just dropped some crazy chocolate knowledge on you in there. But the soapbox I always get on is like, the tough part is consumer goods have gotten way cheaper. So things that are disposable, things like, you know, shoes, t-shirts, whatever. But the problem is the four big unavoidable costs have all gotten more expensive, which is healthcare, shelter, education, and transportation. And so TLDR, they've got us by the balls, but at least we do have cheap food and clothing. So that's something.
Jesus Christ, man.
Wow. You're looking at the chocolate.
Graph? I am. I can't see you guys. I'm just looking at this and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah.
You're invested in chocolate.
For people who are following at home, the price has gone from, you know, 4,000 to 9,678 US dollars per tea. Is that ton? I don't know. But yeah, the price has just absolutely gone parabolic for cocoa beans. So, anyway, I probably shouldn't bother knowing that, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, my answer was just going to be computers, because like, didn't those like start with NASA or something? Like, I mean, the origins of computers were insanely expensive and exclusive. And
there were whole rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I have a, when I do a gratitude list, like I have to like limit, I'll try to, I'll break my own rules. One like piece of technology thing, because I could just go on about like all this stuff I could do on my phone. Like the ability to blank from my pocket is like just like this constant thing that, you know, and it's like you can tune into any song you want, all these awesome conversations, you know, and like any piece of information you want. And like, so that and like people, I just have to limit to like one bullet point on a gratitude list most of the time, because I could just start listing people and like random stuff that I can just do out of my pocket thanks to cell phones, which like started as these multi-room networks in NASA of these like crazy archaic technology that's now like lightning fast in my pocket. Insane.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The tech stuff is wild.
And people bitch on their cell phones. It's just funny to me.
I mean, even antibiotics is a technology, you know?
Yeah.
Like technology is almost every tool we use. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty... We got a lot of stuff going for us.
We're on a good timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to say, even this, right? Like, I don't mind doing phone, like I do phone calls with people all the time, but like even this, right? The fact that we could sit here and I wouldn't have known about this wasn't for the pandemic, but like we physically get to see each other. You know, sometimes it's just nice to FaceTime with my mom just to see her face, you know? And like, I remember it didn't seem that long ago. I had a buddy, they were peddling video phones. It's going to be the new technology. And then it was like, oh no, you could just FaceTime somebody now. It's like, what?
Yeah,
that is crazy. Hearing the term video phone, I forgot about that, but you're right. Like, we all have video phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You can like, use it without even being connected to a landline. Like, you're just walking around. Like, it's just a piece of glass that you can just telecommute to anybody in the world. That's insane.
Yeah, and I mean, look, at 43, I'm old enough to remember, like, being in somebody's car that had a car phone and being like a kid, and like, can we call somebody? Like, you'll never guess where we're calling you from. A car!
Ocean City Beach baby beach week
It was like a massive deal. It was like a huge thing, but it's, you're right, the tech is unreal. I mean you can go to Target and buy a microwave, and which I'm pretty sure came from NASA as they were messing around with stuff, and that's how we got a microwave. You could buy a microwave for like under $100.
Yeah. Microwaves, people don't even think about it, and it is very advanced technology. It's really cool how they work. Also, Ted, even in the context of our friendship, you know, you like ordered a black town car and impressed everybody, and now like that's one click away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, but even think about sports, right? Like when I first started watching English soccer, you still basically had to cheer for one of the quote unquote big four, because there was only like one or two soccer games on, and then you watch the review show on Sunday nights. And then, you know, it was groundbreaking when when NBC was like, we're gonna have a sports channel, we're gonna show prem matches. Was like, you gotta be kidding me. And now, like, if I can't find an Arsenal match on the weekend, I'm like annoyed. Like, what do you mean it's not on? It's not even on Peacock Premium.
Yeah. Oh, for sake, not on Peacock Premium.
Right. What are we doing with our lives? Awesome. All right. Well, this will be news for these two fellas too. We are off again next week. Because, well, you know what? It's the Tuesday after Easter, and I'm gonna take a little spring break myself.
Nice.
Spring break. I like it.
Yeah. You guys got any big plans for Easter?
To be honest with you, this is going to sound bad since I went to Catholic school, but this is the first I'm hearing of Easter. I didn't know it was this coming weekend. I know the following weekend is more of a pagan holiday. It's going to be the full eclipse in Texas, so that's going to be cool. We're doing going to like a little festival for that. And actually, I definitely will not – I won't even be out of the festival on Tuesday, I don't think, so I might miss the following one. But, yeah, Easter. I should get on that. I should hide some eggs at the house for our dog, Ricky, with little treats in them. That's a good call, Ted. Thanks for the heads up. I'm going to order some plastic eggs now.
Yeah, you know what? Who knows? Maybe I'll get a wild hair up my butt and be like, we're back on. I'll text you guys on Monday.
Nice.
Well, either way, if you do still celebrate Easter, it's always a good time to have a little ham, maybe some all gratin potatoes and some green beans. Not saying that's what I'm cooking on Sunday, but... You know, that's what some people are doing. Matt, do you have Easter Sunday plans? Maybe a good reason to get some Cadbury mini eggs?
Yeah, my niece is in town.
Nice.
Dude, I got the mayor, Cobb, and my niece, and my brother, and his sister-in-law, like, all here at the same time. It's insane.
I almost forgot about this. When the men's room was at Black Raven Brewery, the first two dudes I talked to, wow. The second two guys I talked to, one guy came over and he's like, hey, man, like, just got to tell you, like, I used to work with Daryl. And I'm like, you know, Daryl from Cooking with Daryl. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Did you work with Mitch? And he's like, yeah. Like, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, Matt's. He's like, I know. he's like, I worked for him. We're friends now. Like, I know Matt. I know the whole family. And I was like, no kidding. They were super nice guys. And I was like, well, that's how we got hooked up with Daryl. He's like, I know. That's what I'm just saying. Hi. And I was like, I'm geeking out on this guy just because he worked with Daryl and your dad. But it was super awesome. They were there earlier. They were like, we just wanted to say hi. Like, you know, we know they're foul. I was like, man, thanks for showing up. That's really like, you didn't have to, but like, that's, I thought that was super cool. Nice little feather in the cap of old, the podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Still the best guest we've had on. I mean, well, him or Red Man.
Dude, we've had a lot of great guests over the years. Honestly, you know, that list is getting long.
All right. Well, there we go. We might be back next week. We might not. Next time we come back, it might be Matt and I. Who knows? Happy Easter. Happy Eclipse. Whatever you're celebrating. Just do whatever you're going to do. Turn heel. Turn good. Just have fun, folks.
That's celebrating Satan.
Celebrate something. Look, at the end of the day, we're all just the Australia of the solar system. CTP for Cobb. I'm Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.